I am Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, and I need to get that mattress fixed.
Okay, I'm not sure how that works into that, but I'm not going there.
Going up.
We are joined by Dr. Lisa Mizuki, who I get, well, that's not even
Mizuka.
Right. It was a Mizuka. Wow.
Wow.
That's why they pay me the big bucks.
You know, we brought our A game today.
That's right.
Everybody's standing around going, good, A.
Yeah. Yes, anyway, her friends just call her Dr. NASA.
Yeah.
She's heard that a million times. Don't even fake it.
No.
You're from the Goddard Research Facility, right?
Goddard Space Flight
Space
Center.
Space Flight Center. Space that's
Flight
like one
Center.
Step up from research facility.
Okay, well, that's good. We're surrounded by rocket scientists this morning,
and we're
not them.
Yeah.
So you are doing research into search and rescue technologies. That's got to be interesting.
I would say it's very interesting. We're actually working on a humanitarian international search and rescue system that's been in effect since 1979.
Okay. What is this system based on? I mean, a person is kind of invisible without some technology on his body to help him stand out.
Right. So this is a satellite-aided search and rescue system. It is indeed global. And it covers air, land, and sea using special emergency beacons called COSPIS SARSAT beacons.
Okay, so they're different from the ones that we've seen that are GPS linked.
That's correct. The power in these systems is that it is not GPS. It works off of an independent search and rescue protected frequency band.
Wow. So your system is also capable of geolocating, obviously. It's not the old, well, there's a signal, let's see if we can narrow it down kind of technology.
Well, that was the old technology. So, again, we're talking about space systems, really. And so from 1979 until just this past year, we were working off of just a few satellites orbiting around the Earth. And you were waiting for the satellite to come over your head to pick up this emergency signal that is transmitting into space.
And, okay, so how do you fix a location from that?
The way that it works now is that we have a new constellation worth of satellites, and this it kind of looks like GPS, but not quite. So we're waiting for three or more satellites. They will see this signal that is being transmitted by the beacon when you're in an emergency, obviously, air, land, or sea, and the signal gets transmitted up to space, comes back down from a payload that is waiting and listening just for this signal, comes back down to the ground. It is then processed, have a latitude, longitude position located, and then it gets pushed out on the ground out to the rescue forces.
Okay. How accurate is your location? We talking miles, feet, you know?
Inches?
Yeah. Hectares?
So it does depend. The current system right now, we're good to about a couple of kilometers.
Okay.
Again, this is off the independent signal. But what's about to happen is a revolutionary change in our system that will get us down to about 100 meters worth of accuracy.
Well, now that's going to speed things up.
That will, especially for somebody who's in a situation that's life or death, you know, injured or severe weather, that kind of thing. Time is critical.
And unable to signal rescuers directly. Yeah.
Yeah, as far as NASA's concerned, we really are trying to take the search out of search and rescue.
Ah,
well, that means it's going to be much more difficult to tell people to get lost.
Yeah. Now, these
beacons...
They'll
always get lost.
Yeah,
yes.
But usually now it's not long enough, especially for some people.
Wow.
The question I have, they have these new systems out, the SPOT system. This is this going to supplant it? Will it add on to it? Will it make it obsolete? Or is this just something that everybody is just doing research about? Is there a commercial application? That's what I'm trying to get to.
It took a while.
Thank you.
So there is a definite difference between COSPIS SARSAT beacons and SPOT or SEND devices. SPOT and SEND are on the commercial side. So you buy the product, it's a beacon. It looks like more like your iPhone. It's got nice breadcrumbs that can be left, where you're walking, things like that. Definitely serves a good purpose. However, in the case of a true emergency, the problem is that with these spot and send devices, they are not hooked directly into the global search and rescue system. And they do not work off of the special search and rescue protected frequency band.
Okay, so the delay time, the lag time, all the above could be hours.
It could be. So for us, really, I like to look at it more as a reliability issue. And for us, reliability really equates into survivability. So if the system is a little less reliable, then those could be precious minutes that victim actually needs.
The beacons themselves are small enough to be hand carried, pocket carried, and you have to activate them, or are they impact activated or anything like that?
It all depends on if you are flying, if you're on a vessel, or if you're traveling on land and hiking, biking, skiing, things like that. The personal use beacons, those are the ones that I would highly encourage general public, general hikers, bikers, recreational enthusiasts to buy and carry. That's a little bigger than a smartphone, a little thicker than a smartphone, but light, with several ounces worth. Throw it in your backpack, throw it in your pocket. When you move up to the aviation side, we use what we call emergency locating transmitters. Most pilots here at the air show should be well aware of what an ELT is. That is on board not just commercial airliners, but also general aviation aircraft.
Now, see, that I didn't realize. So this is actually not necessarily a new technology, but a revolutionary upgrade to the existing ELT network.
That's right. That's our role. So this technology has been around since the Cold War, but with the decades that have passed by now, we've got so much improved technology at the spacecraft level, as well as at the beacon level, which NASA is also working on, that it really is going to be revolutionary.
This is just a general knowledge question. It really doesn't have anything to do with anything. Are you guys on your own satellites, or are you piggybacking off somebody else?
That's a good question. So for the United States, we do piggyback off of GPS. GPS is owned by the Air Force. And yes, it is a navigation-based system. However, because it's a full constellation with 23-plus satellites orbiting the Earth, they also allow hosted payloads that need that global coverage, too. And so our search and rescue payloads for the United States are on board GPS.
Okay. It's a cheaper way for you to get in space, too.
It's a good way to hitch a ride.
Yep.
I was going to ask, is this equipment available now for the home consumer? Or is it coming out shortly?
When you say home consumer, you mean personal or aviation?
Both.
Okay.
It's all out there right now, what we call the first generation in terms of these ELTs for pilots, the beacons, as well as the same types of beacons for the maritime. But they're all now being upgraded via all the technology that NASA has actually put into over the past several years. And so you will soon see the new beacons on the market probably within a year and a half.
Okay, so these are still the 406 megahertz jobs. And I believe some of them also broadcast your GPS location?
Yes.
So that makes your job even easier.
Well, the power behind these beacons is that if you do indeed buy one that also has a GPS chip embedded in it, it will then have two signals and two ways to compute your location.
Right. So you can confirm that the GPS is not confused.
And if it is, that's okay, because the 406 is the primary signal for search and rescue.
Okay. That's nice to know.
And between the two of them, they'd be able to home right in and deliver the pizza to you while you're waiting to get rescued.
With the Domino's pizza drone?
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a unique system. Is this going to be tied into vehicles as well, say like automobiles? Because there's a lot of people out there in the Midwestern states where there is virtually no civilization, you know. Say, for instance, Death Valley. A breakdown out there could be life-threatening.
Or bad weather. Getting caught in snow.
Yep.
Right. And so that is the actual use for a personal locating beacon. You can take that beacon anywhere. You can buy that beacon here in the United States and go anywhere in the world, and you will be assured 24/7 coverage and 99.9% reliability that someone will see the signal and get to you.
But where does that information go? U.S. has its own, search and rescue is part of the Coast Guard, everybody. But in Italy, in Europe, or whatever. That may not be the case. So you guys have to interface with all these other countries.
That's right. So the power behind this humanitarian system is that it is indeed at an international level, and we have pretty much treaties that are set, partnerships that are set with over 40 countries around the world to make sure that everyone has an area of responsibility set so that if the beacon goes off anywhere in the world, we know which country is going to go save them. The power behind the system is the ground data distribution method. So, like I said before, once the data comes down from the spacecraft, goes to the ground, but from there, it is then automatically distributed to special ground stations that will then figure out where the beacon is. It then goes to the rescue coordination centers anywhere around the world. These are all over the world that are just dedicated for search and rescue. And that long position then goes into the hands of whether it's Coast Guard for maritime, Air Force for inland SAR for the United States, but it works very similar for the other countries as well.
Okay, that's great. And you're in the NASA Pavilion, so we can find out more there?
Yes, indeed.
I want to thank you for joining us. We've been speaking with Dr. Lisa Mazzucca.
Got it. You aced it.
This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.